Heavenly Father, we come to you today as your people. We come to hear from your word. We pray that you will touch us, encourage us, challenge us, and help us to walk with you every day, Lord, because there will come a time when we will leave this world and go to be with you. Until then, Lord, help us to serve and live and give everything to you. And we just thank you and praise you and pray that you'll hide me behind the cross and speak to us, Lord, through your word and your voice. In Jesus' name, amen. Many of you know I went on vacation to Monterey, and I was listening to the Christian radio station down there. KEAR comes in down to Monterey also. And it was such a blessing. And there was a speaker on the radio that was talking about this subject, and it really touched me. And I didn't get a chance to hear his message, but I heard his topic, and it started working in me. And so the topic is this: loving what God loves. Loving what God loves. And I hope next time to continue with a part two on this, hating what God hates. Because we love what God loves, and we hate what God hates. And that makes our Christian life pleasing to the Lord. You know, when you love someone very much, whether it's a spouse, a friend, a family member, you want to please them. You want to make them happy. You want to do those things that will be what they're interested in and what they want to do. And the same is true of our Lord. When we love him, we want to give him everything. We want to live our lives for him in such a way to bring him happiness, to bring him joy, and to bring him peace. We find that there's a verse in Amos chapter 5 and verse 15 that says this: hate evil, love good, establish justice in the gate. It may be that the Lord God of hosts will be gracious to the remnant of Joseph. The three things that we're going to look at today are three things the Bible says that God loves. Now, there are other things too, but these are three where it says specifically God loves. God loves righteousness, God loves justice, and God loves generosity. And these same qualities that he loves, we can apply in our lives and live that way. And that is a blessing. It's been a blessing to me. I trust it'll be a blessing to you. Well, let's look at our first point this morning, to love righteousness. God is a righteous judge. Everything he does is right and good. And to live a life of righteousness is to do what is right in God's sight all the time. And that's the challenge in my life. That's the challenge in all of our lives. We live in a sinful, broken world where people do not love the Lord. They do not follow the Lord. And they do not live anywhere close to righteous lives. But righteousness should be a hallmark of every Christian. Because you see, when we come to Christ, we come in our own righteousness. We come in our filthy rags. We're sinners, but we come to Christ, and what does he do? He saves us, and he imputes to us his righteousness. Think about that this morning. You are just as righteous as Jesus Christ because you have his righteousness. And that's the challenge, is now to take that and to live righteous lives. 2 Corinthians 5:21 is one of the most amazing verses in the Bible. And it says, "For he who made him," that is Christ, "who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." If you don't know the Lord as your Savior, you're not righteous before God. Your sins are not forgiven. You haven't come to the cross. And you can do that today. You can receive him into your heart, and he will take his righteousness and place it on you and give you righteousness forever. But God calls us to a life of righteousness day in and day out, whether things are going well or they're not going well. Whatever the case may be, he wants us to do what is right. And he wants us to do what's right even when nobody else is doing right. He wants us to do right even though it's going to be difficult. It's going to be costly to us. He wants us to have right thinking, right actions, right motives, and right desires. Notice everything is right. And that is a blessing to us. Psalm 11, verse 7 says, "For the Lord is righteous. He loves righteousness. His countenance beholds the upright." When God's countenance upon us, it's a smiling countenance. When we do those things that please him, that honor him, he's smiling because he loves us so much and he's so happy that his children are following in the path he wants them to go. Someone wrote about the word righteous. It says that they said this: the word righteous goes back to the base root word meaning to move in a straight line. Thus, righteous means living or acting in the right way. But what is the right way? In our society, people commonly say that everyone must determine what is right for oneself. Dangerous thinking. Dangerous thinking. That's what they did in the book of Judges. It says everyone did what was right in his own eyes. We want to do what's right in God's eyes, not in the eyes of the world or even in our own self. And God has given us moral characteristics and values that we should follow, that we stand up and walk in the right path. Jesus talked about it in the Gospels. There's a straight and narrow path that he wants us to walk on. And the world who's not saved, they're walking on a broad road, wide and broad, and many are those who follow in that way. Few are those who find the narrow path to leads to eternal life through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I also like what it says in Proverbs 21 and verse 21. He who follows righteousness and mercy finds life, righteousness, and honor. Yes, the Lord will bless us. He'll honor us. He'll take care of us. If we live righteous lives, he will use it as a testimony to others. J.N. Darby, I haven't quoted J.N. Darby for a long time, but I found a quote by J.N. Darby, who is a great man of God. He said, "I can say Christ has been my only object. Thank God, my righteousness too. Hold fast to Christ." You've often heard the term self-righteousness, people going around thinking they are self-righteous in themselves. That can turn people off faster than anything else. Because our righteousness is not ours. Like I said, it's Christ. And so we shouldn't have that holier-than-thou spirit, that self-righteousness. We need to have Christ's righteousness, which is a humble righteousness and a godly righteousness. Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy 6:11, "But pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and gentleness." These things we should pursue. And I was thinking about that. That's interesting. He tells us to pursue righteousness. That means it can be attained with the help of the Holy Spirit. We can't attain it in ourselves. We attain it with the power of the Lord, and we can be and live righteously in this world. So that's the first thing that God loves. He loves righteousness. And we have to take a little self-quiz, a little self-examination. Am I living a righteous life? Can people see Christ in my life? Am I living the life that a Christian should live? And the first way is by living righteously. Secondly, love justice. You know, our country is based on justice and the rule of law. And even in our Pledge of Allegiance, it says, "With liberty and justice for all." I believe it. I love our country. We have a wonderful country. Even with our flaws and weaknesses, we have a great land with many liberties and freedoms, and we have justice for our people. Psalm 33 and verse 5 says, He loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. God is the judge of all the earth. And Job even said that, Abraham even said that to the Lord, shall not the judge of all the earth do right, do rightly? And so he prayed for the people of Sodom to get saved. But he wants us to be just. What does it mean for a Christian to be just, to have justice in our life? It means this is how we treat others. We should treat others fairly, honestly, sincerely, and we should treat them with the love of Christ. That's really what it means to have justice in our lives. In Micah chapter 6 and verse 8, there are three things that the prophet Micah mentions here that God requires: justice, mercy, and humility. This is what it says. He has shown you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God? If we could just follow those principles there, our lives would take on such greater meaning, and we would be a blessing to so many more people. But it's not enough to just talk about justice. We have to do it, and it's not always easy. We are subject to our feelings. We're subject to our prejudices. We're subject to our partialities, and that should not take place because God wants us to treat all people with love and care and compassion. So he wants us to do that. But it's costly. There was a man named D.H. Lawrence that said this. He said, ethics and equity and the principles of justice do not change with the calendar. I love that quote. They don't change with the change of the calendar. It seems like in our world today, things change by the calendar. One minute is one thing, another minute it's another thing. But God's word never changes because God never changes. And his justice, he's a just God, never change. And we should be thankful for that. But so many times in life we say life isn't fair. I mean, if I ask you to raise your hand, I won't do it, but if I ask you to raise your hand, I bet you have said it more than once in life, life isn't fair. That is not fair. Whether we see something that happened in the world or something that happened mostly to us, it's not fair. Guess what? It never will be fair in this world. It never will be. But in Jesus Christ, it is fair because he knows us and he gives us what he wants us to have. So it is fair, and we should be thankful for that. One day, I like this. This is a funny story, but this socialist came to see Andrew Carnegie, who was one of the richest people in the world at that time, equivalent to Elon Musk and all the others that in our society today. But he came to Mr. Carnegie, and he started railing on the injustice of Carnegie owning so much and having so much money. And he was saying, in his view, wealth is meant to be divided equally. Oh, boy. If I was Mr. Carnegie, I would give it up, give it back to him hard. But listen to Carnegie's wisdom. He asked his secretary for an assessment of everything he owned, and at the same time looked up the figures on the world population. He did a little arithmetic on his pad and then said to his secretary, give this gentleman 16 cents. That's his share of my wealth. Oh, boy, I tell you, people want to divide the wealth. No, it doesn't work that way in life. But we need to choose justice. In Job chapter 34 and verse 4, it tells us we should choose justice. Let us choose justice for ourselves. Let us know among ourselves what is good. So justice is a choice. We have to choose it, just like we have to choose to live lives that are a righteous life. It's very, very important. And we must temper our justice with mercy. In the law is very strict. And it says, if you commit this crime, you're going to pay for this crime, up to capital punishment or whatever the penalty is, life in prison, whatever it is. There's consequences to sin. There's consequences to these things. But God had mercy on us. And his justice and his mercy met at the cross. And the justice and the due that was ours, Jesus died for us. And he took our penalty and paid the price for our sins so that we can have eternal life. We didn't deserve it. We never will deserve it. But we're thankful for it. And then our third point today, not only does God love righteousness, and not only does God love justice, but he loves generosity as well. Our God is a generous God. When God gives something, he gives the best. He gives a big amount. He gives over and above, beyond our expectations. And it's so fantastic. I was at Mike and Ginny's on Friday night. We had a wonderful night. And I guess they know my appetite, I don't know, but they brought me the biggest piece of carrot cake with cream cheese frosting on it. I didn't leave any left. I ate the whole thing. I know that surprises you, but it was so good. So good.
That's injustice.
That's injustice. Yeah, why did my piece get big and the others not as big, right? But God is a generous God. He gives us so many things, and he never changes in it. And he gives us way more than we deserve. And my question is, how much do we deserve? Zero. From God, we deserve nothing. And what does he give us? Everything. Just like the song. Everything. He gives us everything. And in 2 Corinthians 9:7, this is one of the most challenging verses. It says, so let each one of you give as purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. Now, it's easy sometimes to give, but to do it grudgingly, do it unwillingly. I don't want to. I don't want to do this, but I'll do it. But that's not the spirit. And this happened to me this week. When I should have been a cheerful giver, I should have volunteered to do something, and instead I was hesitant, and it was bad. And I had to ask the Lord to forgive me because it's not right. He wants us to have the spirit of giving and the spirit of being generous with a willing heart and a cheerfulness about it. And giving's not just about money, although that is very important. But giving oneself to the Lord is very important. Giving one's heart, giving one's life, giving one's possessions, everything. We sang in that song, everything, everything, all that I own, everything, everything, all that I am, everything, everything, all that I love, that is the price I will pay. That is the price I will pay. Generosity is not just for the wealthy, like all the rich people in the world, but it's for all of us to be generous with our time and our money and our talents and everything that we have. Proverbs 11:25 says, the generous soul will be made rich, and he who waters will also be watered himself. That's a beautiful verse to show that what God does is when we're generous, he brings it back to us and he makes us blessed as a result of it. When you water a plant and it gives you the fruit of it back, it's a blessing. There's a lady named Susie Orman, and she said this, true generosity is an offering. given freely out of pure love. No strings attached, no expectations. Time and love are the most valuable possessions we can share. And that is so true, to be generous. So let's remember this morning on this brief message that God wants us to love the things that He loves. And we'll see next time He wants us to hate the things that He hates. But today, we saw what God loves. He loves righteousness, He loves justice, and He loves generosity. Yes, it's such a blessing. And you know, God loves some other things too. He loves sinners. Isn't that amazing? He loves sinners. He loves every person in this world, for God so loved the world. He loves the world. He loves everyone in the world. He loves His saints. He loves you and me. He loves that. He loves the truth. His word is truth. And one thing that's amazing to me, God loves the unloving, and God loves the unlovable. Sometimes we find it hard, don't we, to love the unlovable person. It gives us a hard time, that irritates us, that says bad things about us or to us. And it's hard to sometimes do that, but we need to ask the Lord to help us to do all of these things. We should always follow God's example. When we do right and live right, we will be blessed just right. And when we are fair and honest and others see Christ in us, it will be a blessing. And when we're generous, it will touch people's hearts. So may the Lord encourage us today to love righteousness, love justice, and to love generosity. And to be the kind of Christian that shines as a light in this world. And when we do that, it will be a great thing. Shall we just close in a word of prayer? Our Heavenly Father, if there's anyone here today that has not received Christ as Savior, may it be the time right now. And for those watching on and listening online, may they take a moment, Lord, to bow their heads and say, Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I have sinned against You. I have no righteousness of my own. I've blown it. I don't deserve it, but Lord, I come to You and ask You to forgive me. And Jesus will forgive and give eternal life. And Lord, we just thank You that we have the greatest gift. We are the richest people because of Christ. And Lord, we just pray that You'll impress these truths on our hearts. And we just pray, our Father, that You will help us to go forth from these doors today, living in righteousness, in justice, and in generosity. And we just thank You now in Jesus' name. Amen.